We've been working our way through this sermon series, The Struggle. And just to remind you, the struggle is the walk, the life here. And we've touched on a lot of parts of things that we struggle with. And today we're gonna finish it off. And last week was kind of a difficult sermon to hear. We were asked not to personalize the struggle, because all of us are going through things. And if you allow Jesus Christ to take the struggle from you, then the struggle actually becomes a victory. And building off on that today, we want to take on the concept of in this life, so many times we want to push the struggle away. We want to pray to be relieved of the struggle. We want God to remove us out of the environment where we struggle. And that is what is built inside of us. That is all the coping mechanisms that we come up with, either on our own or that have been passed down to us through either parenting, our environment, or working with others. That's what the world presents, is remove yourself from the struggle. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And what the Bible teaches is very clear in the teachings of the Bible, in the theology, in the wisdom that Christ says in his own words, is simply this. It is our job to embrace the struggle. And that sounds awful, depending on what your struggle is at the current time, because people are struggling with some horrible things. But when we get through what the Bible teaches and the things that the Bible reveal to us, then what can happen is the very action of embracing the struggle begins the step of actually defeating the struggle. And what we tend to end up doing in our living, and also now in our parenting, is the removal of roadblocks, the removal of hardships. And we've talked about that before. Whatever you want to call them, helicopter parents, lawnmower parents, whatever, however you want to do it, what we've done so much in this life is make sure that our kids and grandkids don't struggle. Okay? And I get the concept behind a lot of this stuff, all right? But what ends up happening is that when they get out from underneath our umbrella, then sometimes the first struggle, true struggle, that they have to hit on their own, they don't know what to do. And we have, in a loving way, with great reasons and great motivations behind it, we've pretty much set them up for an environment of failure. And sometimes when we look at kids, or whatever the baby boomers, frowned on Gen X. I'm Gen X, so I frown on the millennials, and you know how it is. Everything goes, we pass it on down. But here's what's happening, is that kids nowadays, it's not that they're different than us. It's that they have not been allowed to experience the same things that we have been exposed to in our youth and growing up for generations. And we're doing it for good reasons. It's coming from a good place. But it's not what the Bible teaches. And so when the world today talks to you about coping mechanisms, and it gives you the worldly wisdom of pull yourself out of that. If you're in a struggle, find a way to get out of the struggle. That's not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is that, in fact, the struggle is where growth and victory actually comes from. And if you remove yourself from that very struggle, you're taking away the opportunity to grow and the opportunity for Jesus Christ to present a victory in your life. So let's look at it here, okay? And this is a remarkable statement right here, that the struggle is actually a treasure. Because when I say that, some of you are like, man, you have no idea what I'm going through. How can you call what I'm going through a treasure? Well, here's the out. It's not me that calls it that, okay? So let's look. We're going to be out of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter today. We're going to start verse 7. And it says a remarkable thing here. It says, but we have this treasure. And what we've been calling it throughout this series is the struggle, is this life. And we have this amazing opportunity. We have this one life that has been given to each and every one of us. And the seconds and the minutes continually tick away. And what so many of us do is that we are spinning our wheels, struggling in the wrong kind of way, that life is just getting away from us. And so the Bible teaches us to take a different perspective, and instead of frowning on the struggle, it actually is teaching us that the struggle is a glorious treasure that has been placed into your life. And the quicker that we come to the ability to look at the struggle and call it a treasure, the quicker that we grow and actually get through the struggle with a victory that God is going to place in your life. So look at, let's break this apart. It says, but we have this treasure, okay? And this treasure has been placed in the terminology here in this translation is in an earthen vessel. Now, what does that mean? An earthen vessel with a treasure, all right? Here is the theology, here's the teaching that the second we accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice at Calvary as the pathway to heaven and the pathway to forgiveness, and we accept what we call Christ's salvation, the Bible teaches that you are a regenerated being. You are made new. A righteous spirit is placed inside of you. I had this conversation with the high school class this morning. It's as if God has been doing this your whole life, trying to give you the Holy Spirit. But there has been no pathway to get into you, because the Holy Spirit is the gift from God through Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that the second that we accept Christ's salvation, his sacrifice at Calvary as the atonement of our sins, then he is placed in front of us. And then as soon as he's placed in front of us, the Holy Spirit goes through Christ and enters us, and it lives there forever. So here is the very platform that we build our lives on, and that is that, yes, life comes with struggles, absolutely, and it can be summed up as one big monumental struggle. But the Bible says refocus your thinking. Take it on in a biblical perception, and it is a treasure. And here's the way that we start out with, is that you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is placed inside of your body. And through that comes power that is more excellent than anything else on this earth. Regardless of what struggle you're going through, the power of Christ is stronger than that. And this is for the glory of God and not of ourselves. And the perception is that in order to get through the struggle, you can't rely on your own strength, knowledge, and wisdom. You will fail. You will continue to struggle. But if you accept the treasure that comes from the struggle, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, and he does not speak his own words, but the words of Jesus Christ, who is always operating in the will of God the Father, and we are made new by the entry of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, then we now have a power inside of us that the world can't contend with. And now the struggle becomes a pathway to victory. Regardless of what the struggle was before, it is now a pathway to victory. It's all about how you allow God to expose his power inside of you. So here's the deal. Regardless of what kind of struggle you're going through, it can be turned into a glorious exaltation of the power of God. It's up to us how we allow him to live through us. And I've seen people who have been given a death notice by a doctor, and then they walk out of there and they allow the power of God to be revealed through them. And even though their earthen vessel passed away in this life, there was a victory because of the way that God lived and the power of God was exposed through their living. Now, that can only happen with the power of God. And some of the struggles that this world is going to throw at you, you cannot do it. You're going to enter into horrible things like lifelong depression, year-long depression. You're going to make decisions that pile on more bad decisions on top of you. Have you ever made, do you know what follows a bad financial decision? A second bad financial decision, right? Just when you think, like the Dumb and Dumber, just when I thought you couldn't get dumber, you go and do something like this. Okay, I have that conversation with myself all the time. All right? But with the power of God living through us, these struggles become pathway to victory. All right? And this is the process. This is the application of how that happens. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The Holy Spirit has entered you and has changed you. You are not the same person that you were before the Holy Spirit entered you. You are a new creation. Now here's the deal. We're still covered in our earthen vessel. So yeah, we're still going to mess up. We're still going to sin. But here's the thing, is that you have a power inside of you that the world cannot contend with. So even though we continually fail, now listen to this. This is a promise here. This is a monumental promise given to you by God, is that if you have the Holy Spirit put inside of you, living inside of you, and you have a righteous nature inside of you, even though you're still in your earthen vessel, your body, your living body, that's going to continue to mess up and get yourself in trouble and make bad decisions on top of another bad decision. Here's the promise, is that because of what is living inside of you, that power inside of you, there can still be victory even though we are people who continue to mess up. That's an amazing thing, right? Because when we put together plans on how we're going to succeed, think about it. In that plan, if one part of it falls apart, then you gotta veer off into another path. You gotta go to plan B. Anybody living in plan B? Huh? I'm about plan G, tell you the truth, man. Or what happens when you get to the alphabet? They just go AA. Plan AA. Then it's plan BB. CC, okay? That's how you do that. You don't run out of options, all right? You just move on to the next one, okay? But that is the problem. And the thing is that all things have become new. All right? And it's all because of the power that lives inside of you. And then Ephesians builds on top of that and says, it gives us the challenge that if you're going to survive this struggle in a biblical way, then you have to allow the new man to live. You have to allow that power to be exposed in your living. You have to accept the things that are going on in your life. You have to accept the wisdom. You have to accept the motivation. You have to accept the advice given to you by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then 2 Peter continues it. And it says, but we have been given this great and precious promise. Because here's the great and precious promise. Even though we are humans in our human body that will continue to fail, continue to mess up, there is a power that has been put inside of us that we can still have victory even through all of our failings as humans. And this is that is the precious promise. And that we have a divine nature put inside of us that can override our human nature. All right? And this will allow us to escape the corruption in this world even through our lusts. And that word lust so many times has a sexual connotation to it, which is correct. But in this instance, it's talking about all the things in this life that you pursue because of your likes and your wants, and you see it with your eyes and you chase it. This is what it's saying, that even though we are failing, humans continually failing, continually to mess up, and we are driven by the awful person that is inside of Aaron Phelps, who continually makes bad decisions, is chasing after things that my earthen vessel wants to do. Even on top of all that, there is still a power that has been placed inside of me by God through Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. I can still have victory over the struggles in this life. That's why it's a treasure, because it shows you that even through all of your failings, God can still expose his strength and power. Remember, through our weakness, what is exposed? God's power is made perfect. And the understanding there could be that the weaker you are, the more perfect his power is made, the more that is overcome. And John says right here, and it's quoting Jesus Christ, and this is what he's saying. This is some of the underlining meaning of what this quote says. It says that I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, sometimes this gets taken, and it tells you that if you believe in Jesus, man, your 401k is going to rock it. You're going to have too much money to count. Here is basically the teaching here. And the teaching is that if you truly want to live, and you truly want to get through this life in a way that you can't do it on your own, you got to have a different kind of way or a different kind of power fueling the engine. And the absolute most perfect power to ever be exposed through an earthen vessel is the power of God that is brought to you by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit lives through each and every one of us. That's the teaching there. The struggle is a treasure. And the treasure is that the power of God can be exposed in our lives. Even with insurmountable odds against us, with failing on top of failing happen, it doesn't matter. The power of God overrides it all as he lives through us. That's a promise. That's a promise right there. And this struggle sustains us. And you say, well, man, it's beating me down right now. Have you ever gone to bed and you are so tired that you're already planning your nap the next day? I do that all the time. I'm like, man, if I go to sleep now, I can get so many hours, and then maybe I can at some point, you know. I get it. Sometimes the struggle wears us out. But here's the thing. If we do it according to the Bible, the struggle actually sustains our living. And you say, Ariane was giving me some, I was putting my outfit together today, and I had a different thing going on up here, and she gave me the words, that's too colorful. And I said, too colorful. I don't understand those words together like that. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't think you can ever be too colorful, right? Huh? But that's what she told me, okay? Yeah, sometimes you can, right? All right, but when you say, the struggle sustains me, you say, man, the struggle is what's beating me down. The struggle is why I'm so tired. The struggle is why, let's just be honest with yourself this morning. Don't hold back. The struggle could be why you've already given up. And you're just going through the motions, man. I'm already giving up. I'm checked out. I'm done. I've struggled as far as I can go. This life has beat me down. I've taken more than I deserve and I can handle, and I am done. And whatever happens can happen to me. If you're there, then you need this promise that is provided through the scriptures. And it's telling you that don't take the struggle in the earthly ways, because it's going to beat you down. It's going to take you to that place to where you give up. But if you do it according to the scripture, then the struggle can actually be what sustains your living. Now let's look how that happens. Let's continue on in 2 Corinthians, okay? And it says that we are hard pressed on every side. Amen? It's like the whole world is closing in on us. And we're running out of room. And it starts to get tighter. And then it's like we can't get a deep breath. And we, you know, the earth's too small and the life's too small. Troubles are hammering on us, all right? And it says that if you do it according to the way the Bible tells us to live, then as the walls close in on you, you will never be crushed. God will not ever allow you to be crushed. And then it says that when you are perplexed, what's that mean? When you are confused, anybody ever looked at your life and say, how can this make sense? How can this happen? How can this kind of thing happen to a person like that or a person like me? Do I deserve this kind of circumstances in my life? This thing that has happened to me or to my body or to my living, is this what I deserve? And you walk away with that with no answers? Then here's what the Bible promises, that you will not enter into a time of despair where you give up and where you quit thinking about and searching for the wisdom that is out there to get you through it. And then it says that you may be persecuted. Man, that is a direct promise from Jesus Christ, is that we will be persecuted. In fact, the Bible says that when you are persecuted for Jesus, you're not to feel sorry for yourself, but you're actually supposed to praise his name, that someone thought you were worthy enough to persecute in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So it says that even though we're persecuted, we actually know, not in theory, not in teaching, not reading some kind of scripture that says he's never leave you nor forsake you, but in your soul of souls, you know that you have not been forsaken by God, because you can feel his presence there pulling you through, bringing you towards the victory. And that's even in the worst kind of persecution that can happen. And that's why when you read about these guys who go into these foreign lands and they're arrested for absolutely no reason other than spreading the word of God, you think, what on earth could sustain somebody like that? It's that they have a deep kind of belief and faith inside of them that God is revealing himself even in the midst of the worst kind of persecution. That's the promise. We can all have that. But we have to get there with an amount of faith, with an amount of belief. And it says that you might even be struck down, but you will not be destroyed. And I tell you this all the time, but life is not about whether or not you get knocked down. Life is about if you get knocked down, do you or don't you get back up and you continue the fight, the struggle. And what the Bible says is that you can get knocked down 1,000 times a day, but there's not anything in your soul, your DNA, that would ever allow you to continue to lay there, because you know that you have to get up. The Holy Spirit is pushing you, encouraging you to get through it. You have a different kind of power that is sustaining you through this fight. That is the promise, is that you will be sustained through this fight. And then they just continue on, don't they, huh? You say, well, the struggle is supposed to sustain me, okay? And now to survive the struggle, you actually have to die. That's what the scriptures teach here. Continue on in 2 Corinthians 4, and this is what it's saying. That with the Holy Spirit living inside you, you are a regenerated, born-again Christian. It says there that you are always living and dying in the body of Jesus Christ. Now that's a statement there. I mean, I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. I'm not smart enough to tell you exactly what that means, okay? All right? So you're going to have to get there on your own. You're going to have to continue this path. But let me give it a shot here this morning to teach what is in the underlying ideals of these scriptures here. And what it's saying is that we live in the body of Christ. And at the same time that we are living in the body of Christ, we are also dying in the body of Christ. Now you ask yourself, how can you be living at the same time that you are dying? Well, that's happening to us all right now, right? We're getting closer to death. Sometimes I can actually feel my body getting closer to death, okay? As stuff starts to hurt and you think, man, it didn't used to hurt when I went like that. Now it hurts when I do that for some reason. I don't know why. And just things happen, right? Okay? And creaks and all this stuff, and you get slower and okay, it happens. But here's what this scripture is teaching you. This is what it's saying, all right? That if you're going to live an appropriate life, the life that the Bible's calling you to live, then it's not you that will do the living. You have to give up your life. You have to say, all the hopes and dreams and stuff that I want to accomplish, they don't matter. They don't mean anything. So I have to give those up. I have to give them to Christ. That's why we say your job, first thing in the morning as a Christian, is to pray the prayer to be emptied of yourself so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is the teaching here, is that if you're going to live, it's not about your life. It's not you that is living. So you have to live in the body of Jesus Christ as he lives for you. Do you understand that? In order to truly live, you have to allow Jesus to do the living for you. Now, when you give up your life, then that is a form of dying. But you have to die appropriately. You can't just willy-nilly die. You have to die appropriately when you give your life up, when you give up all that. So in order to live, you got to live in the body of Christ. And in order to properly die, you also have to die in the body of Christ. And what that means is that his death on the cross is where you put yourself in, because that is putting to death your sins, your life. It's ending who you are so that you can be relinquished of all this ugliness, all this earthen vessel, all the selfishness, all the greed, all the lust. You can be relieved of that because you're dying in the body of Christ at the cross as he puts to death all the ugliness inside of us. And then once all that's dead, then we go back and put ourselves and live in the righteous body of Jesus Christ as he lives through us. Now that's an outward way of saying of the inward changes that's going on as we attempt to get through the struggle in a biblical way so that Jesus Christ can give us the victory over the struggle. That's the outward example of the inward treasure that the struggle becomes for each and every one of us. Because so many of us are trying to get through it on our own. You're still trying to live in yourself. And here is the truth of the matter. If you continue on this analogy here, if you're living in yourself, then guess what the danger of that is? That you could die in yourself. And you don't want to die in yourself. You want to die in the body of Jesus Christ, because that is what brings salvation, forgiveness, eternal life. Dying in yourself can't get you there. But you have to live in the body of Jesus Christ and die in the body of Jesus Christ. And if you die in the body of Jesus Christ, then likewise, you can't continue to live in your own body. It can't happen. That becomes a war inside of yourself. And you'll live unhappily. You won't ever get to the victories that the Bible promises you, because you haven't allowed yourself to give up who you are and to live inside of the body of Jesus Christ. Mark says, whoever desires to come after me, you got to deny yourself, take up the cross. That's the words of Jesus Christ. That is the teaching. And whoever is in Christ, they crucify the flesh. And remember, biblical teaching here, anytime the Bible uses the word, especially in the New Testament, the word flesh, you can substitute that with the word self. So if you're going to live in Christ, guess what you have to do? Crucify self. Because if we're going to live in the Spirit, then we also have to walk in the Spirit. The struggle actually gives us purpose. Purpose to continue on the struggle. Your life takes on meaning because of the struggle. Now here's the understanding here, okay? Here's what we have to accept, is that if we didn't have the struggle, then our life would not really have meaning. Okay? Here we are. Since we have the same spirit of faith, then we have to go out and we have to live it. We can't just take it in ideals. We have to live it. To say that these are our beliefs have to come out in action of living. Okay? And it says that we know that he who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ will also raise us up with Jesus Christ. Here's the promise. There's a promise inside of this scripture. You know what it is? I have given you this struggle. I have allowed this. That's hard words to hear, isn't it? Huh? And what you're going through right now, here's what God's telling you. I've given you this struggle. It's a treasure. Hold on. Okay? This struggle is going to sustain you. This struggle is going to give your life purpose. So I need you to embrace this struggle, because here's the promise. Here's the promise. Just like I raised up Jesus Christ in the midst of his struggle at Calvary, I'll lift you up in the midst of your struggle at your Calvary. You understand what's going on there? That's the promise. That's the promise. Just like I took care of Jesus, I promise I'll take care of you. And then it goes on and says, for all these things are given for your sake. This is for your good. That grace, having spread through the many. Now here's where the teaching continues on. All right? It may cause thanksgiving and abound to the glory of God. What's that saying? We as Christians have an obligation that when we live the life that Christ has placed inside of us and God gives us to victory, it's our responsibility to allow those around to know that the glory of God has sustained us and that the glory of God has brought victory to us. And it is our obligation to expose that to those around us so that we can be a teacher and a minister through Jesus Christ as he brings us through our struggle and gives us the victory. But we have to be willing to give Jesus Christ the victory. And it says that don't lose heart. Okay? Even though sometimes it feels like the outward man is dying, the inward man is being renewed and built up day after day after day. So when you feel like the struggle is beating you down, the promise is that you are being renewed spiritually each and every day. It's there. Take it. Reach out and grab it. And it says that. And here's some more hard words, all right? You ready? This is tough, all right? It's calling it a light affliction. A little tough, isn't it? The struggle you're going through is just it's a light affliction that's happening just for a moment. It's trying to put you in the scope of things. It's trying to put you on the proper timeline here. And what it's telling you is that your life is but a blimp. This struggle is just a moment of time compared to the glory that you're going to get in heaven. It's just a moment of time, okay? And this is what we have to do. For this life is temporary, but the things of heaven are eternal. So here's where we need to end with this sermon series, The Struggle. Life will beat you down. Life will take everything that you have if you allow it to happen. But we're not teaching humanism here to where we say, get tough, dig in, build up. That's not at all what we're saying. What we're actually saying here is to give up to the point of dying to yourself so that you can live in the body of Jesus Christ, and he can power you, he can sustain you, and he can eventually give you the victory of this thing we call the struggle, even at the worst kind of things that happen in this world, there can still be victory over those things if we allow Jesus Christ to live through us, to live the struggle, and to bring us through the things that happen to us in this life. So I'm going to have you stand this morning. If you're at a place in your life where you've given up, then please come up this morning and let's give up properly, where we die to self and we allow Jesus Christ to live for us. If you're struggling right now and the answers aren't there and the reasons don't seem to be justified and life just keeps hammering us, then come up and let's get a different kind of power flowing through us that this world can't contend with. And if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the struggle doesn't really, I don't have any answers for you at that point. It's just going to be a struggle. Life is just going to be a struggle. But with Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the struggle takes on a new meaning. It takes on a new purpose. You get a different kind of power bringing you through this life. So if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior, then by all means, come up this morning and let's turn that struggle around and place it on a path of victory to eternal life. I'm going to open up the altar to you this morning.